This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Greetings, Place to Be Wrestling Network family. Welcome to this week's NWA Saturday special. I'm your co-host, Scott Criscolo, sitting beside me, virtually, because I don't want to get into social distancing. I might bang my fucking head against the wall. The doctor, Dr. G, Giorgio Bellino. How you doing?
Good evening. I'm doing great. You know, what are you going to do? You know, this is the world we live in. Right now, so
jump off my fire escape. Oh, no way. I shouldn't do that. I don't want people starting to find catchwords in the podcasts. Anyway, hey, it's good to have you here, as always. We are guestless tonight, just the doctor and I this week. Hope everyone's having a nice weekend, doing something. Hopefully you're around responsible adults because there aren't a ton of them anymore. in this country, apparently, but you're responsible and you're smart because you're listening to us, and we're pretty good.
That's it.
This week on the show, we will conclude our series, I guess you could say, on the legacy of the secondary championships in the history of the National Wrestling Alliance. Before we do that, though, we want to mention that over this past week, I guess you could say, the second domino fell. In the current NWA's roster. Of course, Ricky Starks left a while back, and he is in AEW. And now it was announced this week, even though he was on last week on Dynamite, getting a TNT title shot with Cody. That Eddie Kingston, your boy, the Big King, is now with AEW.
Now,
I'm happy for him.
These guys for making a living, you know.
I can't fault the. I can't. You know, Eddie did kind of say though that he and I don't know if I don't know if this is good news or bad news, because Eddie kind of alluded on that episode of Inside the NWA with him and Homicide that he was pretty loyal to Eddie to Billy and would stay unless Billy told him to go for greener pasture. So either A, Eddie, you know, went back on his word, or B, Billy said, look, I don't know when the fuck this is coming back. Go make some money.
Yeah, so I mean, Billy said that it wasn't going under, but, you know, he wasn't going away with it. But I just think it's to a point now where, you know, there's not a lot of revenue stream right now. And he's not going to stop somebody from going to make a living.
And
he understands that.
And this has – and I don't think this has anything to do with what happened to Dave Lagana. I think that – they still weren't making money on anything. They were just doing those awesome Carney Lane videos and the pods.
I mean, they were doing
stuff.
Okay from what Dave was saying, but not enough for these guys. I mean, listen, AEW is a big company, you know, they're second to WWE. So they have some money, even though, you know, things are a little rough. I guess that big TV deal definitely helped them. They're able to invest in some of these guys because you got to understand. And I know, you know, you and I were talking off the air about it. The WWE, I mean, they've created such a system where they got guys coming in and out constantly because of NXT and the Performance Center. They have to bring in some of these guys at AEW, so they have guys on the roster. And of course, you know, sometimes guys get hurt, so you have to have somebody to take those spots. So they have to have a decent sized roster based on, you know, the injuries that happen in the sport today, especially because the way some of these matches are. With these high-flying guys, they're always trying to, you know, sometimes I think they go a little too much with it, and this is where you have these major injuries. And Eddie Kingston is great. I mean, he's great on the mic. I think he will add something to AEW. We're going to miss him here in NWA because I really think he was a key cog. Billy's going to have to figure it out. That's just the way it's going to go at this point. I mean, unfortunately, the virus, you know, has hit many things in our lives, but it's hurt the wrestling industry. Now, companies like WWE and AEW are surviving because they have TV deals, and they have big TV deals, and that's what's keeping them afloat. So
yeah,
it's tough. But, this is tough. I'm upset about it. I'm happy for him. I think, you know, you can't deny a guy a chance to make some money, especially during these times. But you know, it doesn't really bode too well for the NWA right now. But you know what? I'm going to try to stay hopeful. We heard what Billy said a couple of weeks ago, so let's hope that's true, and hopefully they can get some content out here and keep going. But you're going to start seeing some of these guys leaving if things don't happen soon.
Well, I'll tell you something.
Guys and gals.
AEW, well, it's funny you say guys and gals, because obviously AEW, for some dumb fucking reason, is doing a women's tag team title tournament, which is boggles the mind, because they barely have enough talent to have challengers for Shida's. And
which
the women's
means
title.
They're going to be bringing in some other women, which possibly could be, you know, some of these NWA women. I mean, NWA doesn't have a ton either, but
WWE has more than AEW, and their women's division was
yeah, no, but I'm saying better. In terms of getting people for their tournament, they may pick some of these people.
Well, I'm surprised. Well, they've already started the tournament, and I'm surprised. I mean, all I hear from people is the next person that's going to leave is Thunder Rosa, and I mean, she's obviously the current women's world champion. She seems pretty loyal, and she's a champion. Like, Zicky Dice dumped the TV belt, but Zicky Dice is a piece of shit. Well, let's be honest. I mean, the fuck is he? Some fucking hump. You know what I mean? So I don't know why he quit. Where the hell is he going to show up? He's not going to go to AEW. Look at him. You know? If it wasn't for Billy, he'd be unemployed.
And I think people are loyal to Billy, but they also have to pay the bills. And I think Billy seems to be the type of guy that, like, if you go to him, he's going to be, listen, you got to do what you got to do. I can't guarantee what's going to happen here. Again, we're just speculating here. We know nothing on the inside.
No, we don't. We don't.
At all. We're just trying to speculate, just like everybody else, of what's going on. I mean, we want to see the NWA come back. But unfortunately, as you can see, what's going on even in the world of sports right now, and what's going on in the world in terms of what's going on in the United States right now with the virus, it doesn't seem to be getting any better.
No,
so we don't know when we're going to be able to see crowds again. So it's just a really, really tough time for, you know, let's just keep it to the wrestling part rather than get into the whole world. There's a lot of other problems there, but in the wrestling world right now, look at Raw's ratings are the lowest there ever been. People are not into, the product without the crowds. Now, like you said, maybe AEW and NXT aren't doing too bad because they're a little different from the mainstream product. Their shows are structured differently. And I think the fans kind of like the competition of one against the other kind of thing, kind of like back in the Attitude Era, obviously to a lesser extent. But I don't know. I mean, I can't watch it, to be honest. I mean, occasionally I'll watch a few minutes here and there, but it just doesn't do much for me. You know, you need that crowd. And I'll tell you, you know, as we're going through, you know, the Croc and Roll show, which thanks for everybody who's tuned in for our first episode. We'll be doing our second episode here in a couple weeks. But when I'm watching that and seeing the studio show and just seeing, there was a part where the Koloffs are wrestling and you hear them, the fans doing singing the national anthem and then doing the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, to try to aggravate them. And then the back and forth with the wrestlers in the crowd. I love that, you know, and I really want to see that come back with the NWA, which is what we were seeing with the new incarnation of the NWA. So it's just, you know, it's just you and I are probably a little heartbroken because we liked Eddie. We thought Eddie was going to be a key cog for the NWA, but
and I mean he's just going to get lost in the fucking shuffle. I mean just so everyone will know, you probably wondered why there was no main event this week. Steve Willey was a little under the weather, so we didn't do a show this week, but we will be back and we're going to stick with our schedule, so we will have back-to-back episodes this week, coming weekend, next week. We had a great mailbag, so we're going to extend the mailbag for another week. So just to let you know, we'll talk more about that at the end of the show.
You know, you're talking about mailbag. We'll maybe do it. Why don't we do that for our show when we come back? I know we're taking a week off next week. Why don't we do a mailbag for our show. Why don't we see, why don't we try something a little different? You know, I think people really been, we've been getting some great responses about doing, you know, shows. We even kind of created another show out of this show. So I think it'd be kind of neat just to see what people are thinking. You know, maybe some people have questions about the new NWA, the old NWA, some of the stuff we discussed. Maybe they hate what we chose for our Mount Rushmore.
Nah, that idea sucks. Anyway, no, I'm only kidding. I do like that idea. Maybe we'll think about that. As Dr. G mentioned, I was going to mention at the end of the show, but as usual, he likes to throw the plugs in at the first half of the program. What do you think this is? What are you waiting for? Traffic and weather on the nines? Listen. Minutes and 60 seconds?
Shut up.
Do you sleep under your desk still? No, I'm just kidding. No, we are going to take a week off. It's kind of like our replacement because we didn't take 4th of July weekend off because we wanted to talk about the Great American Bash. So we're going to do it. So there will be no Saturday special next week. We're going to take the week off. But maybe we will do in 2 weeks on Saturday the 16th of August, which will be the next Saturday special after this one. Why don't we do a mailbag? Give us questions. 15th. I know different 15th. Than 15th. I mean 15th. Yeah, on the 15th. So instead of just, you know, anything involving the NWA, and if you've already sent a question about the for the main event mailbag, that's more widespread. This is strictly NWA. You can ask history questions, current questions. I don't care. Whatever you want, ask away. So let's do that. We'll promote it at the end of the show as well. We will do a mailbag in 2 weeks on the NWA Saturday
special. Sounds good to me. I think it'll be fun. And I think, you know, we really appreciate the support because, again, this show started and you and I were discussing, you know, this show started as covering the new NWA, and we've had to kind of change the path while we're in this situation. We didn't obviously think we were going to be in this situation this long, but we're doing the best we can to really just put out some good product and talk about the National Wrestling Alliance, not just now, but now, you know, some of the stuff from the past. And again, a show was created from this show. So think about it. It was kind of like, you know, All in the Family created the Jeffersons, you know, another great show. So we're creating the Crock and Roll. Maybe.
So
maybe
what are you? You're the Norman Lear of podcasts now?
You know, yeah. Oh, I like
little,
that.
You're going to wear a little bucket that. Hat? Meathead.
No, but you know, it's a lot of fun. We can't thank our listeners enough because, you know, by you downloading and listening, that gives us the energy to keep doing this every week because, again, we've created this show based on the new NWA and we've had to, you know, kind of re-steer the ship somewhere else to kind of keep things going. And we've been having a good time with it. I've been having a good time anyway. I'm sure you are, right? Anytime you get to talk to me, you're having a good time, right?
Well, last week I had insomnia and I puked. Oh, no, wait, that wasn't you. That was something else. No, yes. No, you're right. No. It's just, you know, we cross our fingers every week and hope that Billy Corgan is getting – I know it's not easy. But to be honest with you, the one saving grace for him is that he's not losing money. He might not be making a ton of money, but he's really not losing money. Because he's not having to pay for the studio. You know, the YouTube channel's kind of suspended. But there's a ton of archive stuff. We've gone over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he's doing for salaries for the wrestlers and all that. I mean, that stuff he's working out, I guess.
But I mean, so whereas I think WWE and AEW are just flushing money down the toilet.
I mean, there's a little bit. I mean, all this has kind of been out there because I guess Bruce Pritchard kind of.
Bruce needled him a little bit. Yeah, Bruce needled him.
And again, we don't know what the situation was. I know they were in the end, in TNA together for a little bit, but obviously I think the Nick Aldis we saw in TNA is not as good as the Nick Aldis.
Well, maybe Conrad could grab a pair of his unwashed tights and hang them above Dusty's boots. I have nothing but the utmost respect for Conrad, except for his hatred of Triple H, which is unfounded, unprofessional, and you're a dick. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's.
I think Conrad likes to needle the Triple H. He likes to needle Bruce because Bruce likes Triple H too. So, but he likes that fun, kind of like we all do. Like,
well, hey, Conrad did exactly what Triple H did. He married into royalty. Otherwise, he'd just be him and my buddy Steve would just be selling houses in Huntsville.
They were just talking about on
his podcast. Bobby Eaton's lawn.
They were talking about with the, on the podcast, I think JR's podcast. I forget what show they were doing back in 2000. They were talking about Triple H and how his promos were, you know, like long, you know, the game and all that. And JR was saying, you know, at that time he was trying to get come into his own. And obviously, as you see, his promos later on are much better than they were back then. And I just thought it was interesting to see, you know, and I was thinking of you when Conrad was kind of doing the, you know, his impersonation of it. I'm like, oh, my God, Scott would be throwing something at the at his phone right now if he was listening to this. But, you know, he was just having some fun with it like everybody does. Right. We got to have some fun. We like to get you going. You haven't gotten going on this podcast too much. I haven't gotten you too fired up yet.
No.
We'll get there, though.
No.
I think people like your rant, Scott's rant. It used to be the other way around. When we were younger, I was the one that was always ranting. Now you rant all the time. What happened?
Well, clearly because it's your fault. That's why. Because you're a nut job. I was the fucking... Look what you've done.
I know. We're going to... You know, but I am... Today, I'm looking forward to, because you know what we're going to talk about today.
Well, I got to blame JR, too, because I went on a ton of, you know, I've gone on rants on the Place podcast. As a matter of fact, you know, it is 9 years and a million downloads. And I again, we thank you for that immensely. I talked about it last week on the show. JR and I talked about it in this past week's episode of the Place to Be podcast, because we talked about the reason this is funny is because this past week we did the 1991 Royal Rumble with Jason Sherman. Good show. Check it out. And and we were talking about, now for everyone that knows, we kind of rebooted and started in January of 85. So we redid a lot of our early pay-per-views, because a lot of the early ones you know, were not great. I mean, Matt Rotella still gets death threats from when he was on WrestleMania 2. So we were going back to the last time that Justin and I did the 91 Rumble, and it was the last pod we did before I went on my cruise in 2011 with my mom, with my parents. You remember that cruise. And, mm-hmm. And then of course that was the week of the pipe bomb. And while I was on that cruise was also when the Lakers flamed out in the 2011 playoffs after winning back-to-back. Remember, Kobe had just won back-to-back NBA titles in 2009 and 2010, and then flamed out in the semis. I think they got swept by Dallas, and I think they lost game four by, like, I don't know, fucking 35 or something. And, like, Lamar Odom was, like, cheap-shotting guys in the fourth quarter, and I lost my shit. And I was getting my balls busted because I wasn't here for the pipe bomb. Like, I knew that was coming. And I went on this fucking rant, and Justin played the music that, you know, like from the Armageddon pay-per-view, you know, that song. So it goes well before you, since you're not the only one, although you get a decent amount of credit. But, well, the thing here on the Saturday special is we talk about amazing things, and I know we've kind of avoided, we haven't gotten to the main crux of our discussion tonight, but,
people know how we are.
The day will come where a fuse will be lit. Maybe when we're back to normal. Maybe when these little purple balls floating in the air finally go the fuck away.
Listen, all I got to do is talk about AEW, and that'll just get you going.
It's not the I've said this 1,000 times, and I think and this week, this coming week on the main event when we do the mailbag episode, I know one or two. I already kind of perused the letters with Steve and Nate, and I know there are a couple of AEW questions. I want to preface: I don't hate AEW. I don't hate them. I've watched Dynamite. I've spent $50 on pay-per-views. It's their fans I hate. They're a bunch of whiny, spineless snowflakes who are disingenuous and aren't real wrestling fans. They make excuses for AEW, and they bash everybody else, and they get defensive like they fucking own it. They're a bunch of goddamn babies. That's my problem with AEW's fans. Not AEW. Although, why doesn't Cody just admit he wants to be Triple H? You know, you slam the fucking throne with the sledgehammer, yada, yada, yada. You played this whole dog and fucking pony show. You're Triple H, and your wife wants to be Stephanie. Why don't you just admit it? Just say it on camera. Cut a promo. Say you're Jacksonville's King of Kings. I would have more respect for you. Just do it.
I told you this is it's a very
just
easy.
Fucking do it. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? No, I'm not wrong. I'm right. Why can't he just admit that he wants to be Jacksonville's King of Kings? Because he can't. Because then his fan base will turn on him. Because they're a bunch of snowflakes. Maybe I'll have you. You want to come on this week? Maybe I'll see if I don't think Steve and Nate certainly won't care. We'd have. I mean, think about it. The doctor, the counselor, the Godfather, and the Podfather. I mean, that's fucking royalty right there. Will the Croc and Roll guys get mad if you come on our show? Is this like crossing the line?
Oh,
is this like
no.
Mid-South, like Mid-South, Mid-Atlantic? anyway, maybe I'll be on this week.
I'm not leaving the network.
Yeah. Or are you like Eddie Kingston, a free agent? Or are you like Eddie Kingston? Will you be borrowed? Anyway.
You know what?
We'll see.
Yeah, I love getting you going. But anyway, today, that's not what we're here for.
Oh, we're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to have another awesome history lesson tonight. So 2 weeks ago, we were on with our good friend, Drew Wardlaw, who will be on our air tomorrow. Later. Well, if you're listening to this show as it dropped, later today, Drew Wardlaw has another GWCW pod blast ticket. So take a check today. About 6 o'clock, it'll drop here on the network, and take a listen to this topic. It's pretty good. We did the U.S., the legacy of the United States heavyweight title. Of course, last week we were on with your host on, with your tri-host on Croc and Roll, Sean Kidd, to talk about the television title. This week, the final, part of the series, the legacy of the NWA World Tag Team Championship. And boy, are we going to talk about some awesome tag teams tonight in the history of the tag titles. Now, we do need to preface that in terms of something called the NWA World Tag Team Titles, the history is probably the most convoluted because there were, you know, unlike like the TV, there was only one major TV title other than Crockett, and that was Georgia. There were a couple of U.S. heavyweight titles floating around the country, but really Crockett's was the big one. However, there were a ton of, quote, World Tag Team Championships in the National Wrestling Alliance.
Well, yeah, and, you know, when the NWA was created in 1948, you know, the board basically controlled the NWA World Heavyweight Championship and the NWA World's Junior Heavyweight Championship, or Junior Championship, or whatever the heck they called it. And tag team wrestling back in the, you know, late 40s, early 50s was not that big in every territory. It was kind of big on the West Coast. So they, you know, the board decided they weren't going to control that belt. If the territories wanted to create their own versions of a World Tag Team Championship, they did that. So there was tag team championship versions in pretty much every territory, you know, San Antonio, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Detroit. I think even in Tennessee, which was called Mid-America at that time, you know, Chicago. And then when some of the Midwestern states left the NWA to join on with Vern, then those championships became the AWA Tag Team Championship. So I think when you're talking about the NWA World Tag Team Championship, you know, the version that everybody maybe more in our time think of is when Mid-Atlantic, because basically I think the last territory to have another belt besides Mid-Atlantic, like in the early 80s, was the Los Angeles territory. And when they went out, pretty much that was the last one left, and then that became the NWA World Tag Team Championship, as we kind of know it, you know, in the times we talk about. You know, we our formidable years of wrestling, or at least for mine, were in the early 80s. That's the belt that we, you know, the tag team championship that we remember. So it's one of those lineages that are really tough because there were so many of them, so there really it wasn't really a technical lineage. I guess if we want to just go with the lineage of the Mid-Atlantic version of the World Tag Team Championship, and I believe that came around like 75 or so.
Yes. The Crockett, I guess you would call it the NWA World Tag Team Championship, quote, Mid-Atlantic version. And it lasted from January of 75 to January of 91 when they
Ooh, I'm good.
WCW. So you're very good. The first, but we're gonna talk about some epic teams and some epic guys over the most of the 70s. The inaugural team, which won it at a house show in Raleigh on January 29th, 1975, was the original Minnesota Wrecking Crew, Gene and Ole Anderson. Gene Anderson was an odd guy. He kind of had a, he had a facial tic, and he was a little weird looking, and he was never very intimidating. But I feel like, Dr. G, that we're going to talk about a lot of guys who probably wouldn't have had the sachet to be a good singles guy, even in like the lower mid-card TV title kind of level. But boy, put them in a tag team, and they are gold. And I think Gene Anderson's one of those guys. Maybe Ole to a certain extent, but I'm sure Ole had decent solo runs in the 70s. But
he did, but you know, Ole, you know, watching him, you know, with some of the stuff I'm watching now in the mid-80s, you know, I just because he's such a crabby bastard, you know, but he really, he was good. He was good, you know, like I didn't realize how good he was. And, you know, him turning and like, you know, him saying, you know, I'm not glad handing to anybody anymore. You know, like he just is, he just makes you want to hate him. And Arn, you know, I know we talked about Arn so many times, but I mean, if you're going to have a perfect replacement for Gene Anderson, it's Arn Anderson. Arn was so good. And you think about it, back in the mid 80s, he wasn't wrestling that long, but he wrestled like a veteran and he spoke like a veteran. He really was good.
Yes.
I mean, I think Arn Anderson, I'm really becoming, I'm really getting, gaining more and more respect for him as I watch his stuff. And again, I think because right now we're all so down on the current product, and when you go back and watch some of the stuff, you don't, you kind of appreciate it more. But he was really good. I mean, just think about what Arn Anderson could be in today's wrestling landscape. He'd be a world champion.
Oh, absolutely. And talking about Arn and talking about – it's giving me an idea. Talking about Arn and Ole – we'll get to Arn. Believe me. We're talking about tag teams. We will get to Arn in a few minutes. But
no, I was just
giving me, it's giving me an idea for – it's giving me an idea for some future show topics down the line while Billy's getting things going. I got some interesting ideas.
Well, that's why they pay you the big bucks here at the network.
Well, that's why I'm the podfather. Someone's got to sit at the top of the tower and smoke the cigar and drink the blue. And come up with the ideas while everybody else, you know. I'm one of those really great guys that sits home, doesn't work, gets money, and just comes up with ideas and makes everybody else. Oh, wait, I'm thinking of somebody else. Anyway, never mind. But the – don't you love rib? We have our own kayfabe rib going on here. It's just – never mind. Anyway. anyway. So Gene and Ole are the original – and they win the titles between 1975 and 1977 – they win the tag titles six times between January of 75 and October of 77. They bounce back and forth. They alternate with a bunch of different teams. They lose to Paul Jones and Wahoo, Big Daniel. Then they win. Then they lose to Rufus R. Jones and Wahoo. Then
number one, Paul Jones.
Number one, Paul Jones. Then they how about this weird team? Dino Bravo and Mr. Wrestling. I wonder if Dino Bravo had as little work right then as he did 10 years later. Then they won. Gene and Ole won it back. Then, how about this great tag team? Ric Flair and the Hammer, Greg Valentine. They won it on the day after Christmas, 1976. Gene and Ole won it back. Dusty Rhodes and Dick Slater. See, that's the best part of these tag teams, Dr. G. These kind of wonked out fucking combos that are like, wow, what a wild team. Dusty and Dirty Dick, right? How crazy is that? Then, guess what? Gene and Ole won it back. And then Rick and Greg won it back in October 77. Then they had to vacate it because they apparently a ton of their matches ended in DQ.
Yeah, that was a pretty good team if you think about it, Greg Valentine.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, two-time tag team champions. Valentine will win it again a couple times, I think. And then there was a tournament final in April. See, look at this combo. He must have been – obviously he was a babyface at this point. Paul Jones and Ricky Steamboat. How about that for a weird combo? That's the best part. That's the best part about looking at these old classic 70s tag teams. A lot of them are, you know, because I know we get very critical of like WWF during the Attitude Era and even WCW where you slap together two singles guys and use the tag team titles not as its own prestige but as a crutch to lead to something else. Like that gets, you know, during the Attitude Era and in the 2000s, you saw that a ton. But here, I think two singles guys legitimately enjoyed being tag team champions. And
yeah, because you know, I think it gave them something to do. I mean, you know, the tag team championship. I think in the 80s, you had more of the teams like a Road Warrior, where you had like they were tag team specialists per se. And again, I could be wrong. I mean, I know there were some teams in the 70s, but I think in the 80s that really became big. But putting two guys together, because, again, you can't be at the top of the card all the time. And a lot of times the tag team championship would either be, leading into the main event or a co-main event with usually the World Heavyweight Championship or that territory's main championship. So it gave guys who, may have been at the top of the card at one time, but, you can't stay at the top of the card all the time. It gave them a chance to be a champion, but kind of hold up the top part of the card, but not be at the tippy top of the card, I guess, is the best way to kind of, to put it. It was neat to see. I mean, you don't think about Dick Slater and Dusty Rhodes being together.
Right.
But you think about their two careers, it's not a bad little tag team to put together.
No, not at all. And now, as we head into the late 70s, we had teams like, Valentine would team with Baron Von Raschke. Look at this tag. And you know what's funny? For a lot of our WWF, for our fans that were strictly like WWF fans in the 80s, when you think of a team like Paul Orndorff and Jimmy Snuka, you're like, nah. Huh? Yeah. Paul Jones, Baron Von Raschke.
You forget that Jimmy Snuka was a pretty good heel at one time.
Yeah, and Paul Orndorff was a pretty good WWF star. And at times, Paul Orndorff was a pretty good babyface too. Ric Flair and Blackjack Mulligan won it at one point. Steamboat won it with Jay Youngblood, Ray Stevens and Greg Valentine, Rick Steamboat and Jay Youngblood again, Ray Stevens and Jimmy Snuka, Paul Jones, Mass Superstar. On May 1st, 1981, in Richmond, Virginia, Gene and Ole Anderson won their last, seventh and final NWA tag team titles. In December of 81, Gene was hurt, and I think that's when Gene Anderson retired, and they relinquished the belts. They had a tournament, and in February, and I remember when I first started watching the Mid-Atlantic show on the network, on the WWE network, it was around this time in late 81, early 82. Ole won his eighth tag team title with Stan Hansen. How about that for a team? How about those two fucking potato throwing hosses? That ain't gonna be fun. That's like being in. No, that's like facing the only worst guy to probably be in a tag team with in terms of being snug with you besides Stan and Ole would be Stan and like Harley. Yeah, that wouldn't be a fun team to wrestle.
No, not at all.
That'd be a little snug.
Stan and Harley. That's interesting. You know what was a funny thing? I was sometimes when I'm trying to go to sleep at night, I'll put on like things on YouTube and I watch Battle of the Belts. In Florida was when there was a hurricane. I forget what year it was. And it was the Road Warriors versus Stan Hansen and Harley Race. Honestly, the work rate in it was not that great. But you could tell they were pretty stiff with each other.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Now, the 80s were interesting because then I start remembering some of these teams. Now here's a perfect example. All right, Dr. G, here's a perfect example of a guy who probably singles would have, you looked at him and you're like, yeah, right, whatever. this guy would never have made it as a singles guy anywhere. But as a tag guy, he was actually pretty good. After Ole and Stan Hansen had to relinquish the belts due to some heel shenanigans, they had another tournament, a real one, I would assume, and Sergeant Slaughter and Don Kernodle would win the tournament. Now, Don Kernodle is one of those guys. You look at Don Kernodle, you know what he reminds me of? Bob Roop. That's another guy. You look at Bob Roop and you're like, really? Bob Roop? And then you look at Don Kernodle, you're like, really? Don Kernodle? But put him with a guy, put him with a pretty hot worker, heel or whatever, and, It's magic. And I remember if go on the network and, if you want to watch the Mid-Atlantics from 82, Kernodle and Slaughter were a pretty damn good heel tag team.
Yes.
Slaughter would be starting things with Private Jim Nelson, who of course would eventually become Boris Zukov, and his little group there.
Did Dusty and Manny beat them?
We're getting ahead of ourselves. Dusty and Manny isn't until 80. We'll get to you're close though.
Who beat Slaughter and Kernodle? I thought it was in a cage match.
It was Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood on March 12th, 1983. They held the belt for 181 days.
I do remember the cage match. So
yep.
I do
remember that. So the Briscoes, then came the awesome feud in the summer of 83 between the Briscoes and Steamboat and Youngblood. That's when Jack and Jerry turned heel, which would culminate in an amazing tag team title match at Starrcade 83 when Steamboat and Youngblood would beat the Briscoes. They vacated. Ricky Steamboat announced his retirement from wrestling, which, of course, wouldn't hold. Another tournament, and guess who this tag team champion was? Don Kernodle and Cowboy Bob Orton.
Wow, I don't remember that. You know, I have a good memory, but I don't remember that.
Then Kernodle and Bob, this was January of 84, they would lose to Wahoo and Mark Youngblood. Wahoo was a face.
Yes, I do remember when Wahoo and Mark Youngblood had the championship.
The Briscoes would win it back. They would lose again to Wahoo and Youngblood, and then this team is the team you're thinking of. On May 8th, 1984, in Raleigh, the Wahoo and Mark Youngblood would lose to Don Kernodle and Ivan Koloff. And Ivan was alone at the time, but he would start to kind of work his nephew into the mix, his kayfabe nephew, of course. We are, of course, talking about the Russian nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
Yeah.
By the way, friends of NWA Croc and Roll, apparently.
Yes, he is.
And they would have an amazing feud. Throughout the summer with Dusty and Manny Fernandez and a bunch of other guys. And eventually on October 20th, 1984, that is when Manny Fernandez and Dusty Rhodes won the title. And Ivan and Nikita turned on Don Kernodle and kayfabe broke his neck.
Yes,
and then Don Kernodle, became a babyface.
I do remember that.
So there you go. So, Manny and Dusty would hold the belts for a few months till March of 85. And I bet you these guys are the champions right now in your Croc and Roll chronology. The Russians, Ivan and Nikita Koloff.
Nikita Koloff, yep.
Dusty and Wahoo. And again, another fantastic team. And of course, at this point, they would bring in Crusher Khrushchev and they would do the Freebird rule, where two guys from a three-man team can defend the belts. And they were the six-man tag team champions, which I never understood. Was that just like a throwaway thing? Crockett had six-man tag team belts. World Class had six-man tag team belts. Really, were there that many six-man tag teams that promotions had to have six-man tag team titles? I never totally
that's an interesting concept to research why they did that. Again, I think it was – I can't even say it was just to try to get – mid-card guys, because a lot of times it was guys at the top of the card that, you know, like the one, you know, we remember, you know, Dusty and the Road Warriors. I don't know. Maybe it was just a chance to put really popular guys together. You know, instead of having just singles matches all the time, you know, if they're not at the top of the card. I don't know. I do not know the concept of the six-man tag team championship. That's something I definitely should probably research, because it was interesting, but those six-man tag team championship belts were awesome.
Yeah, they were. Of course, they were six-man tag teams in World Class, and they weren't worth shit. they didn't carry anything around because Fritz didn't pay for anything. The Russians would lose to a team that had arrived in Crockett middle of 85 from Mid-South, and that is a tag team we may talk about in the future, but arguably one of the greatest tag teams of all time. Never one of my personal favorites, but they were really good anyway, and that is the Rock and Roll Express. Of course, Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton.
They were in the new NWA.
Yes, they were. Then the Russians won it back, and then, of course, in a cage, I'm pretty sure this match was in a cage, Rock and Roll Express would win it back from the Russians at Starrcade 85. Then the Midnight Express, and we did this show. On Jenny and the Gems, the superstars on the Superstation, the Midnight Express. They arrived from World Class and won the titles. So, and then they would battle, and those two teams would bounce back and forth. And then in late 87, arguably maybe one of the greatest tag teams of all time, came together for the first time. And that is the team of Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. Now, Arn and Ole never won the world title, world tag team titles. They won the U.S. tag team titles or the national tag team championships. But Ole and Arn never won the world tag team titles. Arn and Tully did. And that was in September of 87. And they held the belt for quite a while until the very first Clash of the Champions on March 27th, 1988, when they would lose to Lex Luger and Barry Windham. Lex That's Luger right. had been in the Horsemen, got kicked out, and then about a month later, on an episode of World Championship Wrestling in April of 88, in Jacksonville, Arn and Tully would win the belts back because Barry Windham would turn heel and join the Four Horsemen.
I remember watching that, and I was like, holy shit. I was, like, going crazy because, you know, I loved when Luger turned face, so... It was I was like so upset. I remember watching that. I actually remember I forget whether if they showed it on one of the syndicated shows, but I, you know, remember at that time we didn't know stuff that happened, even if it happened before they aired it, because it's not like today. We didn't have the technology to get all that. And I just remember being very shocked when that happened. And it was weird to see Barry Windham, who I always knew as such a face, become a heel. So it was a great turn. It was a great turn.
And
you didn't see it coming. I mean, maybe all the wrestling fans did, but I didn't. I don't remember seeing it coming.
Nope. And then the you know, and that would probably be the best version of the Horsemen, a lot of people think, in terms of in-ring. Arn and Tully would hold it till September, when they would lose to the Midnight Express. And that was when, of course, Tully and Arn left for the WWF and became the Brainbusters. And then on October 29th, 1988, at a house show in New Orleans, arguably one of the greatest tag teams of all time, and definitely the favorite tag team of all time here on the NWA Saturday Special, won their first NWA tag titles, and that is Animal and Hawk, the Road Warriors, who had already won the AWA tag team titles. They won the NWA tag team titles here. And then, of course, at SummerSlam 91, they would complete the trifecta and win the World Wrestling Federation titles. As we finish off the tail end of the National Wrestling Alliance era, the Varsity Club, we talked about them on the last show, Dr. G, Mike Rotunda and Dr. Death Steve Williams. Remember, he joined the Varsity Club. And they won the tag titles. Then they were vacated. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this. The NWA forced Rotunda and Williams to relinquish the titles due to Varsity Club members Kevin Sullivan and Dan Spivey attacking special referee Nikita Koloff during the WrestleWar 89 title defense against the Road Warriors. I remember that match.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I remember that at WrestleWar. Then at Clash of the Champions 7, the Freebirds won a tournament from the Midnight Express, Jimmy Garvin and Michael Hayes, and then the Steiner Brothers win their first of what would be many tag team titles in their careers. They beat the Freebirds on a weekend episode in November of 89, and they would be the last NWA World Tag Team Champions of this lineage. They would, by May of 90, when Doom beat them, they would be World Championship Wrestling, and of course would become WCW. So in that 20-year stretch of tag titles, the two things that stick out at me are the Rock and Roll Express, probably Tully and Arn, and maybe the Road Warriors are probably and Gene and Ole Anderson are probably the four greatest tag teams of the 16-year NWA era. But the other thing is just thinking historically about some of these times where two singles guys worked together, and you look at the lineage and you're like, really? Paul Jones and Ricky Steamboat? Paul Orndorff and Jimmy Snuka? What the frig? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on the guys who were, you know, the standouts, but it was interesting to see some of these guys put together, of course, because, again, if you grew up during that time where it was, you know, WWF-centric, you think of these guys, you know, so you think Paul Orndorff and you think of him as being, you know, the guy who faced Hogan. And then, you know, he was the heel, you know, with Roddy Piper when, you know, back in the mid-80s. So it was neat to see these different teams that you were like, and like Dick Slater and Dusty Rhodes, you know, you wouldn't really, you probably wouldn't have picked that. But then when you think about it, it's like, oh, that's not a bad team. You know, kind of, you know, Dick Slater was a good, solid in-ring performer. And, you know, we know who Dusty is and, you know, give a little of that dusty dust, as they would say. And, you know, makes a pretty good tag team. I mean, but I, you know, obviously I love the Road Warriors, so that goes without saying.
Well, we'll talk more about the Road Warriors down the line because, like I said, I'm coming up with an interesting.
No, the Midnight topic. Express too. We're all tag teams.
Oh, of course. Oh, well, yes, absolutely. And they're a team that we can't ignore.
I mean, I think they had one shot with it, I believe. Two shots. Andre and one with Lane, I believe.
Let's see. When they first won it in 86,
right?
When they first won it in 86, it was with Condry. Yeah, and they won it again with Sweet Stan in September of 88. That's when they that was pretty good. When Tully and Arn left for WWE.
I know the you know the audience probably like, okay. I really do try because I love this era of wrestling, especially in the 80s. I do try to remember things from memory, not looking on the, you know, looking it up on the internet. I try to remember, you know, sometimes I will refer to the internet if I need to, but I try to remember because this stuff was, you know, as you know, from just listening to the Crock and Roll, I love this stuff. I mean, obviously, when I'm going back and watching some of the stuff, I don't remember everything that I did. So it's kind of bringing it back, but these main things. But I do remember, you know, Condry and Bobby Eaton having the tag team championship together. And I remember Stan Lane and Eaton as well. What's your favorite version of the Midnight Express?
Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condry. I think Dennis Condry gets forgotten. No disrespect to Sweet Stan. But I think Dennis Condry is a much better heel than anybody gave him credit for. As a matter of fact, again, it's great about the WWE Network. You know, when I was a kid, I only knew the Crockett version of Midnight Express. But now I've watched almost a year and a half when the two of them and Cornette were in Mid-South feuding with the Rock and Roll Express. And then they went to World Class and they were feuding with the Fantastics, Bobby Fulton and what the fuck's the other one's name? Tommy Rogers. And they would eventually head to NWA/WCW, but I think they won the US tag titles. They didn't win the world titles. But I kind of do remember
the Midnight Express more for the US tag titles, you know, the ones, the cool ones that we all love. I think Sean Kidd loves that version of the belts. You know, what is it? They were like red and then they said USA or United, you know, I forget what. You know what I'm talking about? The cool belts from the 80s with right. They were red straps. If I remember,
what the US tag titles?
Yeah, the US.
Yeah, and they had USA on them.
Yeah, USA. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the one I know Sean Kidd loves, and you know I kind of remember, you know, Sweet Stan and Bobby Eaton being known more for those belts than the World Tag Team Belt.
Right.
But I think the Midnight Express, again, you get more appreciation when you're older and you go back and watch things for certain teams. Right. Now, obviously, you hated the Midnight Express and you hated Jim Cornette, but you realize they did their job. They made you hate them. And that's the wrestling that we love. When they can make you really, truly want to like just go there and beat the hell out of them,
exactly.
They're doing their job.
And just to let everyone know, and you're probably wondering why aren't you talking about, you know, Harlem Heat or, you know, Luger and Sting or whatever. Again, we're only talking NWA. The Harlem Heat has the most WCW tag team titles. I think they had 10.
Harlem Heat, great. great team and
amazing team, And, but well, again, we're only talking.
Sherry.
Ooh, oh yes, Sister Sherry.
She was awesome, Sister Sherry.
Sister Sherry, yes.
She was great in that.
She was great, but that was. But we're talking again. That's WCW. We're just talking NWA. So, all right. So I hope everyone enjoyed that little walk down memory lane about the World Tag Team titles. We are going to talk more tag team topics, more tag team discussion down the line. All right. So let me give everyone an update on things going on here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. As you noticed on the feed, there was no main event this week. Because it was main event week. We were going to do a mailbag, but our beloved counselor, Steve Willey, was under the weather, so we did not record this week. So we will do back-to-back episodes because I want to keep our schedule. So we will do the mailbag this coming week, and we will do our regularly scheduled episode the week after. So back-to-back weeks of the main event, so stay tuned for that. We will be off next week. We need a breather. We've done a pretty damn good job, I think. And again, we worked through the holiday because we did do an episode on the 4th of July. Of course, we wanted to talk about the Great American Bash.
I think we've done a show since we started every week, right? We haven't even.
Yeah, I don't think we have not missed a week. We did. There was one weekend where, due to technical reasons, we did the show came out on a Sunday instead of a Saturday. We called it the post Saturday special. But we have done a show every week. But we're going to take a spell this week, so there will be no Saturday special this coming week. This coming Saturday, August 8th, there will not be a show. But the following Saturday, August 15th, when the show drops on the network at 9 a.m., we will do our own mailbag. So get your questions ready. We'll give you a week to think about it.
A week. Yeah, we'll give an extra week.
You get 2 weeks, really. We'll give you a week to think about them. And then next weekend, I will post on the Facebook page and on Twitter, at my Twitter, PTB Podfather. Give us your mailbag questions, anything history NWA, current NWA, our thoughts on anything now, Nick Aldis, Marty Scurll, you know, about the guys, people leaving like Ricky Starks and Eddie Kingston, anything at all, our favorite this, our least favorite that, whatever, favorite belt, favorite arena, favorite pay-per-view, anything NWA related, write it up either on you could send it to my email at maineventpoint@gmail.com, or you can I will post a reminder on Twitter, and I'll pin the tweet at PTBPodfather. And, yeah, let's have some fun with it. So 2 weeks' time, 2 weeks from today, the next episode of the NWA Saturday Special, we will do a mailbag. Then after that, I have an idea, and I'll reveal that idea on the show in 2 weeks because I have a cool idea, Dr. G, little audience participation. If you may indulge me.
Nice.
I
have an idea too. We'll talk about.
But we'll talk about it.
We got all these ideas that come.
We got all these ideas. Well, we want to. Let's put it this way. We don't want to put pressure on Billy. We love Billy. We love William Patrick Corgan. And we don't want to put pressure on him. But we would like to do some current NWA because we love him and we love the current product. So we're trying to come up with as much great history lessons as possible to have fun with. So we will reveal that. In 2 weeks, a little audience participation project that I've got on my mind. So we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. PlaceToBe.podbean.com. Follow the Place to Be Wrestling Network on all of your podcast catchers, whether it's Stitcher or Podbean or Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Check it out. We got some great content. We had a new episode of With This Ring this week. Again, we have a special GWCW Pod Blast, Place to Be podcast. I believe we're going to have a new episode of Senior Video this week with Rory McNamara. I believe a new episode this week, not only of Main Event, but also of Highway to the Impact Zone, Logan Croslin and his crew. So, yeah. And then I believe, Dr. G, the week after next, or 2 weeks' time, I guess, will be the next episode of NWA Croc and Roll. So
yes, and we're very excited about it.
Great month of content. And you know, I've given them enough time to kind of work out their kinks. It's time for me to go overseas and visit some of my other talent. So you may see your boss, the PTB Podfather, overseas, if you know what I mean. Stay tuned for what I mean by that. In the month of August. And PoliceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. The Police to Be Nation pop feed, great stuff there. My buddy Tech and I will be starting a new Pop Goes the Classics movie series. Hope everyone enjoyed the James Bond one. We'll be starting a new one soon. And, of course, don't forget our other two great feeds, the Jenny Position and the No So. Dr. G, always a pleasure. Enjoy the week off.
Pleasure's all yours.
Of course. Georgie Land. Should get you a, you should get, we should get you a T-shirt with your fucking big head and a roller coaster on it like Larry Spitzko. Anyway, have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe. Be kind to each other. We're all family. He's the doctor. He's the doctor and you're not. But you, I know you want to be.